Lord's Day is off to a good start with you. I know for everyone it was a great lesson this morning. I'm sure it was very powerful to you, and I'm confident that you're going to be able to go out and share the gospel after that and learning from that, so super excited. If you have your bulletin with you, let's go ahead and open it up. There's a couple extras. The first thing, tonight's a big night at our church, Women of the Spirit event. This is the second one, correct? Third. This is the third one tonight. We're super excited for the ladies to come and to gather with one another, to be able to spend some time fellowshipping with one another. Also super excited is that we will be having many women from the ARC in Owenton will be joining us tonight. So we know they're going to hear the gospel. We know that they're going to have an opportunity for our church to speak some truth into their lives and to let them know that they matter. Right, so super excited about that tonight. Guys, there's opportunities for you to serve as well. The event is not for you, but you can still serve. We've got the nursery, driving the van, a couple things that we can do. If you're interested in that, let me or Cindy know. We would still love to have you tonight. Melissa let me know this morning is that if any of you have a spare moment, she would love to have you help her set some tables up or put some tables away. She got the head nod. Yeah, to put some tables away to kind of help get everything ready tonight. So if you have some time right after church, Melissa will be more than happy to tell you what to do. All right. We move on. March 6th. That's this Monday. Big night for our church. We got the volleyball tournament. In case some of you all didn't know, Dallasburg Baptist Church, number one seed, going into the tournament, right? Large part to many of you, you're probably a big part of that, right? Brad, right here, here's the row right here. No offense, Bobby, but here's the row right here, right? He's the coach, he's running the show, right? But really, come out, and if you want to join, and it should be some fun time. It's going to be a late night, is that after they win the first game, then the next game will be at 8:30. Molly and I were talking about that. She goes, Dad, I don't know if I can stay up that late or not, but we'll do what we can, so come and join. It should be a great time. I want to read a thank you note here to you from Cookie, Crystal, Steve, Stephen, Carrie, Noah, and Ann. To our church family, thank you for the overwhelming outpouring of love. The many visits, calls, cards, your love and prayers mean more than we can ever express. We appreciate your prayers by knowing He is present with the Lord, where we will be reunited. The support of our church family has helped us to give thanks in all circumstances. Reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18. Again, from Cookie, Crystal, Steve, Stephen, Carrie, Noah, and Ann. It's something I say this at every funeral that I'm a part of. I say this every time, even when I'm not part of that, is that do not forget people that have lost loved ones. Continue to pray for them, continue to visit them, continue to keep them in your thoughts, is because you've gone back to your normal activities, which is good and right, and I think that's what God wants you to do. But you got to realize there's a family here that's learning to live with this. There's a family that's now just starting to navigate these waters of not having their patriarch with. March 18th, the trustees have scheduled a work day for the church. All skill sets welcomed. Some of you have amazing skill sets. Some of you are like, hey, I can carry heavy things. We want everybody to show up that can. March 18th, mark your calendar. Also, March 12th, that's a Sunday evening. The most recent GAP team is going to give the church an update of what they did and what they accomplished. I believe there's a picture that's going through the screens up there. They're going to get up here and give us a report. So please, you know, make an effort to be here to hear about what they did. What the results were, and to also be thinking about, there's the picture, of what we can do in the future, right? How we can continue to serve in this ministry and how the Lord leads us and what He wants us to do there, right? You'll also see here we're planning an event at Eagle Creek Resort this summer. Each month we're going to collect different items. This month is backpacks. I saw somebody's already put some backpacks out there. I will have a tub out there by next Sunday for sure for you to put your backpacks in, and then we're going to fill the backpacks with stuff. So backpacks for March. You see there the ARC is continuing looking for Sunday school books, yarn, crochet. You can read the rest of that, and also looking for van drivers. Where's these extra notes? Here they are. These are the extras. Today, if you are going on the New York mission trip, there's going to be a brief meeting right after church today in the fellowship hall. You know, brief is really in parentheses. I don't know how long your meeting will last, but that's where it's going to be. Also, you'll see out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, side note, Harold named the Hallelujah Hallway. So it's staying in the Hallelujah Hallway. There is a sign-up sheet. If you would like to support the New York trip, there's t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, short-sleeve shirts, and sweatshirts. If you're like me and you love sweatshirts, there's a sweatshirt option out there as well, right? Take a look at that. We have something really special today. We have a special birthday to celebrate. There she is, Margie. Hey, you got a round of applause, Margie. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Most people don't get that. And this is something else I talk about a lot. Take a look back there. One whole pew, and we'll say half of another. You know, this is something that is a testimony for all of us. There's a thing called generational learning, right? And we see the effects that that can have on a family, to have so many people here in your family that love the Lord. Hey, amen. All right. We'll take it. That's a baby's amen right there. And so we just see that effects. And quite often when I talk about a generational family loving the Lord, someone always says is that, man, I wish my family had had that. And I understand that sentiment. I understand that not everyone can fill up almost two pews with your family members who also love the Lord and love you. But guess what? It can start with you today. So maybe someday when, you know, we celebrate your birthday in a couple years, you can have multiple pews filled up with people's lives that you've touched and people that's come to know the Lord because of your love of the Lord and your love of them. So maybe you don't have that, but you can. And God can help you with that. It's an amazing truth. Margie, thank you for the example you have, and happy birthday. A true treasure to our church, right? All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray for us. Our musicians are going to come and lead us in some song and praise and begin to prepare our hearts to hear God's word. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the truth that we learned in our Sunday school class this morning about the power of evangelism, about how even in this day and time to where many people say, well, we shouldn't really address sin, we see Christ teaching the exact opposite of that, of Christ addressing sin. And through addressing, Lord, we're thankful for this time that you've given us to discuss about all the things that, all the opportunities here at Dallasburg Baptist Church to serve you, to serve others. Lord, we're thankful for the celebration of Margie's birthday this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the effects that her life has had, not only on her family, but on her church family, Lord. Just a wonderful thing to celebrate. And we pray that if someone is with us this morning and maybe they don't have that same current situation, that they can have that. And that takes dedication to you, that takes loving people, that takes being patient, that takes guiding people. But Lord, that is available to each and every one of us. Lord, we love you. We pray that we're able to set aside the distractions of the day and of the week and to focus.
Amen. Let us stand as we begin our worship this morning. Let us sing of the wonderful power in the blood of our Lord Jesus. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. service for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Alas, and did my Savior die, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred end for sinners such as I? At the cross, I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for men the creatures sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face, while Calvary's cross appeared. Is all my heart and thankfulness, and now my hands to cheer. At the cross where I first saw the light. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side the Savior he will say.
Adore him, behold.
Jesus felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore him. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare.
Head off to Children's Church, and that to pray for these teachers and these leaders. Also, sometimes I forget, it's probably because I don't spend much time in there anymore because I have other things that I'm to do. But also be in thoughts and prayers for our nursery workers as well. I know Melissa shared, I think that she was in there last week. Was you there with her, Creature? That there was 9, right? So that's a big task. But we're very thankful that we have a nursery full of kids. We're very thankful that when we ask our kids to go, we have a large group of kids that go. We're even more thankful that we have, if you feel called and you want to serve in those areas, we can make room for you to serve in those too. And guys, I'm going to tell you that something else. Speaking of that, maybe some of you this morning may have got the offering plate more than once. We're not trying to double dip on you, right? We're not doing that on purpose. But Brad is trying to, we gather back to today, continuing making our way through 2 Peter. We find ourselves in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. Just as a real quick summary for where we were at last week. You'll remember last week, Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's addressing very clear false teachers. The false teachers in chapter 3 are basically trying to tell the church that Christ isn't coming again, right? They're teaching that there is no second coming of Christ. He came once. Maybe he was a good guy. Maybe some people think he's not a good guy, but that was it. He's not returning again. And so Peter obviously is refuting that. We saw a little lecture, a little example, some of apologetics from 2 Peter. And when he was talking about last week, he used scripture, right? He used God's holy word, and he used the history, the prophets, to clearly lay a pattern of understanding, right, of the theology of Christ's second coming. Well, Peter wasn't finished. We ran out of time last week, but Peter didn't run out of time. He picks right up where he left off today, and now he's going to focus in on eternity, right, and what eternity means. And he's also going to focus in on the character of God and what some of those characteristics look like. Before we get, well, let's go ahead and read scripture. Let's go ahead and read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this amazing time you've given us for worship. We're so thankful for our music. Lord, I'm just so thankful that we have a church that sings. We have a church that sings out, that cries out to you, Lord. It's just a testament. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for you inspiring Peter to continue to refute false teachers, to continue to give us. But most importantly, Lord, we're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross on our behalf that we've sang about today, about the righteousness that we are now able to wear because of our faith and our belief and our trust in him, Lord. Just an amazing truth that we cling to. And Lord, we just pray that every day we continue to look for windows of opportunities to share the gospel, to evangelize others, Lord, to tell them what Christ has accomplished in our lives, not to our glory, but like we said. Now, many of you know I enjoy data, and some of you are like, here we go again, another spreadsheet. No, I'm not going to show you a spreadsheet or anything, but I do enjoy reading about data. And I was reading about a survey this week about waiting in line. The average person, right? Depending upon an average age that you reach, the average person totally will spend 5 years of their life waiting. Waiting in line, waiting on hold, just waiting. And I saw a study that said 97% of people hate waiting. Now, what I found most interesting about that, I was like, I want to know about the 3% who love waiting. Like, what's going on with them that they, now there was no explanation of that, but that's just what I was focused on. But it was talking about waiting. I think we can all admit that most of us do not enjoy waiting. We don't like waiting in line, or we don't like waiting on hold. The three places that you wait the longest in line is, number one, is retail stores when you're waiting to check out. Right, this is one of the reasons Amazon has gotten so big, because people hate waiting, right? Number two is the pharmacy, right? Waiting in line at the pharmacy. And the third is restaurants. Now, my family will tell you, if we pull up at a restaurant and there's a line, I'm like, find someplace else. I'm not waiting in line to eat. There are way too many places to eat, and I'm way too hungry to wait in line to eat, right? So we can find someplace else. But waiting is not something a lot of us enjoy. I found this quote. This is a New England preacher. He's pretty famous. His name is Phillips Brooks. And he was known as being just steady Eddie, never upset, rarely upset, was just very kind, was very even keeled his whole life. But one day, a friend of his found him pacing his floor in his study, just back and forth like a caged lion. And he was like, what's going on? And he said, I'm in a hurry, but the problem is God isn't. Right? And so I think so many of us echo that sentiment, is that we have a tendency to think, like, why is this taking so long? Why am I having to wait on this? What's going on with this? And so that's why you'll see there on the back of your bulletin is something that I pray that we all get from today, is the fact is this, is that God is never late. He is never late to anything. God is always on time, right? We got any Tolkien fans with us today? Anybody like Lord of the Rings or Tolkien? There's a quote that Tolkien has in there. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Raphael. I got some support from the corner. There's a quote in there from Gandalf. He's the wizard and thing. And he says, a wizard never arrives early or late. He always arrives right on time, right? And Tolkien is using that as an example, is that that's what God does. God does things when it's perfect and it's the right time for God to do those. And so we see in this bit of scripture, it's not hard for us to realize and to think about why the early church was so concerned with the second coming of Christ, why they were so worried about it. Because number one, they're being attacked from the outside, right? They're being persecuted. We're starting to get in the times, if you remember from history, where Nero was the Caesar, and Nero was feeding Christians to lions, and he was doing all these horrible things to Christians. And so they're being attacked from outside the church. But we also see there's a reason 2 Peter basically spends this entire epistle talking about false teachers, is because guess what? They're also being attacked from within the church. And so you can imagine how expectant the church was. We're being attacked from the outside. We're being attacked from the inside. Everyone tells it to do that. But just real quick, let me lay some, I'm very confident I don't need to spend much time laying this foundation, but I'm going to give you a couple of verses here to basically also just to remind you of what Scripture says about Christ and his coming, about Christ is how he's going to come again someday. Matthew 26 through 64, Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming. We see this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 27. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And so we could spend the rest of today and the rest of many Sundays to come discussing this theological point, but the truth is this: Scripture clearly points to the fact that Christ is coming again, right? Now, I shared with you last week, guess what? It's closer today than it was last week. It's closer, Christ's return is closer right now than it was this morning when you got up. Do I know when that's going to be? Absolutely not. Does Scripture tell us when Christ's return is going to be? Absolutely not. Again, this is another red flag that Peter uses to point us to the fact that one of the key signs of a false teacher is when they start telling you, I figured it out, this is when Christ is coming, right? He's coming on this date, this hour, this time. And we're all like, man, who would believe that? Millions of people believe that all the time. They're always like, well, this is what it's going to say. Now, what I find most, when these false preachers or false teachers, when they get it wrong, there's always an excuse. Oh, we didn't carry the one, or that was wrong there. Here's when he's really coming. And then what do people do? They're like, they must be right. They're just, track record is horrible, but people continue to fall for it. And so we don't want to do that. So I'm telling you very clearly, no one can tell you when Christ is going to return except God. And all God says, it doesn't tell us in Scripture when it's going to be, but it tells us one very important thing: to be ready. It's coming, to be ready. So Peter returns to his apologetics, or his defense. He turns to eternity. Verse 8, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Something that we have to understand here is that the way we perceive time, the way we move linearly through time, is completely different the way God sees time. God exists outside of time. I wish I had a great illustration. I wish I had a wonderful analogy to make this point clear to you. But the truth is this: you have to have faith. You have to have faith. You can't, I can't, none of us can fully grasp the way that God sees time. The way that I like to think about it, and what I share with people, is this: is that God does not have a past, a present, in the past, right now. He's with us right now in the future, or right now in the present, I mean, and he is in the future with people right now at the same time. God sees all of that as the same. So he exists outside of time, right? It's a really interesting thing. Let me just pause right there for a second. I know it's warm in here, right? Perfect timing. just kicked on, all right? Our system was messed up. I had to do a reset on it this morning. Cool air is coming soon, all right? So God exists outside of time. And so what Peter is telling us here to understand is one day to us is like 1,000 years to God. And so when we think of eternity, right, you know, it's just a very difficult concept. Take 10,000 years, multiply it times 10,000 years, multiply it by 10,000 years, and just keep multiplying by 10,000, insert 100,000, insert a million, whatever number makes sense to you, multiply that and just continue to multiply that in eternity. And so one of the things that's really interesting to think is, you know, I always put the ish on the end of these because dates and scripture, sometimes you need to have some leeway with them. But, you know, when Christ was born and went to the cross, somewhere in the 2,100 years ago. So if we take what we see here in scripture, that if 1,000 years are equal to one day to God, right? So we have to understand what seems incredibly long to us. To us, 80 years is a long time, right? I think 79.5 is the average lifespan of a female. Big shocker, women live longer than men. That's because we don't do really smart things sometimes as guys, right? But I think that's the average lifespan of a woman. That seems forever. For God, it's not even a blink of an eye, right? We count time in seconds and minutes. Some of you this morning have already looked at your watch three times, like, when is this going to be over, right? You're already thinking in terms of 30 to 40 minutes, what am I going to do next? God does not think in terms of minutes or seconds or hours. He thinks in terms of eons, of hundreds and thousands of years is how he thinks. And so we have to understand that as best we can, and we have to have faith that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. God says he's going to come again someday, and he will. When is that going to be? We don't know. But it's not a long time for God. It hasn't been a long time for God. What Peter is quoting here is he's giving a reference here to Psalm chapter 90, verse 4. Right? We see this in Psalm. It says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." It's just, again, it's just this echoing and teaching is that God, there's something that's to be said. One of the things that I read quite often is this generation is called the microwave generation. Anybody in here go to stick something in the microwave? You're like, man, I can't wait 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Like, I need this mac and cheese now. Thank you, Driston. Driston, like, I need this mac and cheese now. And you stop it 5 seconds early. We can't even wait for the, I think it's 3 minutes and 30 seconds, right? We can't wait for the 3 minutes and 30 seconds for the macaroni to be done. We're ready for it now. Side note, it's a pet peeve of mine. When I see a microwave with 10 seconds left on, I was like, just clear it, man. Just press the clear button. I do it all the time around here. I'm like, who left 10 seconds on that? Just clear it out, baby. We want zeros is what we want to see, or we want to see the time, whatever model you have. But we can't even wait for the macaroni to be ready in 3 minutes and 3.5 minutes. And so the truth of for you and I is this, is that we as believers, right, and we're talking to believers right now, we as believers, we can't be discouraged. God's perspective, as best as we can try to understand the way God sees time, right, a couple verses here, and I was so encouraged last Sunday night. And Sunday night, we usually look at the scripture again, and we have conversation back and forth, and several people were reading Jude, in partner. It's a great book to read alongside 2 Peter. They talk about the exact same things, right? There's even discussion is that did 2 Peter utilize Jude to write some of his letter or vice versa? There's debate amongst people that really get into that thing. Jude chapter 17, verse 18, or verse 17 through 18. "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions." Right? And so we should not be shocked at this, right? We shouldn't be surprised that people are scoffing and they're saying, "He's not coming. He's never came." Right? Anybody ever heard the old saying, "A watch pot never boils"? Right? Yeah, thank you, David. You ever done that? A lot of you are like, "Man, I'm too busy." But I have, right? Be like, "Come on, I see the little bubbles down there. Why isn't it boiling yet?" like well, it won't go any higher than 12, and the pot's glowing. It's like, it's like, it can't take any more heat, but I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's go. But the truth is this, when we become so fixated and so worried about things, time seems to take any longer. I would encourage you, this one true fact for us is this, is to not rest and be concerned with the day and the time and the second of when Christ returns, but live every day as if he could be back right now. It could be right this second. It could be 10 minutes from now, or it may be 10,000 years from now, and you'll already be in eternity with God, right, for those of us that are chosen, right? So don't worry about the second. Worry about being ready. That's what's really important for us to understand here. 2 Timothy, one of the pastoral epistles, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I think this is really good advice. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Now, does that mean that we're to bunker in and to remove ourselves from society? Absolutely not. Because then how do we share the gospel if we do that, right? We do have to live in the world, but we don't have to be consumed by the world, right? So we are to be forming relationships and sharing the gospel with people, but here's the deal. We can't let those people consume us, right? This is a hard reality. I share this quite often with people. There are some people that for this period that you're at right now in your life, you're going to have to remove them from your life, right? That they've become a stumbling block to you. They're causing problems in your life. Maybe you're not sanctified enough that you're able to handle the way they're treating you right now. You need to remove yourself from those people for a short period. What we pray is that as you become sanctified, you're able to return to those people and you're able to speak the gospel to them. But some people are just, there are all these adjectives here. They're causing major, major problems in your life. And what does this have to do with Christ returning? Is that when you read these examples of what society looks like, it should remind you of something. It looks a lot like right now, right? As we have all these scoffers. You'll remember last week, I'll give you your $5 seminary word again, right? Uniformitarianism. All that means is this, is that so many people believed in a closed system, right? They believe simply this, is that Christ has never come, therefore he never will come, right? They don't believe in anything divine. They don't believe in miracles. And the main thing they don't believe in is that Christ is returning again, right? We have to resist that. We have to fight against that. That's what we would see here in 2 Timothy when he's talking about the scoffers, right? People that are speaking untruths. That's the people we have to be aware of. And so I think it wouldn't be uncommon for you to ask this question. I think people have asked this question ever since Christ first came. Is that why? And we're talking about the characteristics of God. Here's a characteristic of God, right? Verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So it's a very simple answer. Why hasn't Christ returned yet? It's because there's still the chosen and the elect out there. People that God is being patient. He's still waiting on them to repent and to receive the effectual call on their life, and that for them to turn towards him. That's why he has stayed his return, right? Very straightforward. One of the things that I love, and I pray that you feel this way as too, is that look there at verse 9 after the comma. But in church that I think is important for you to think about, I think this is something that I would encourage you to meditate on this in your prayer time, to really dwell on this. Think about like the hymnal says, at one point, you and I both, I'm right there with you, we were running a hellbound race. We were running as hard as we could in the opposite direction, right? Anybody ever in here had a dog that doesn't listen as well, and the one second you take it outside, you take it off its leash, it just runs crazy. Like, it like looks back at you, be like, I'm gone, baby, you can't catch me. And you can't outrun a dog. Some of you may be able to. I for sure cannot outrun any dogs. Three-legged dog's got a good chance outrunning me, right? But as the dog runs as hard as it can towards the road, and it looks back, and you're like, man, I wish this dog would come back. At one point, you were just like that dog running as hard as you could in the opposite direction. And you didn't care about what God's word said. You didn't care about the consequences of what God, and you were like, I'm living my life the way I want to live in Christ. This is something is that you just can't miss this point. As a Christian, we are to be patient with others as well. And I see some of you are like, oh, I knew he was going to say it, right? It's hard, right? It's hard to be patient with people. And so if maybe you don't have as much patience as someone else, and I'll say here, we probably have an entire spectrum here with us this morning and with those at home. Some of you are more patient than others, right? Is the truth is this. The next time you're struggling with your patience, I want you to think about how patient God has been with you. How forgiving God has been with you. Now, that's not to say we don't hold people accountable, right? That's not to say we're like, hey, man, do whatever you want to do, Brad. I'm going to be patient with you. Go live a crazy life, Brad. No, that is not what Scripture teaches. That is not the examples we see of the apostles. That is not the example we see of Christ himself. You studied it this morning when Christ was having the meeting with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. What was the second thing he started talking to her about? Her sin. So there are consequences. We need to help hold people accountable, but we need to understand this. We as Christians, I'm a firm believer. This is the camp I live in, and I'm saying this camp could be the wrong camp. But when God could come down right now, and I think he could bless you with the patience of Job. He could bless you right now. He could say, hey, I want you to be as patient as Job, and he could give you that ability. What I believe how God operates, instead of doing that, God will give you opportunities to grow in your patience. He will give you ways to grow in your patience. And so he can send people in your life, he can put people in your life that are not as easy to be patient with as others. For some of you, that's your kids, right? Nobody say amen to that. Your kids might be in here with you. For some of you, it may be your grandkids. For some of you, it may be a parent. For some of you, it may be a coworker. For some of you, it may be your spouse, right? Don't point fingers at that one. Don't. Irv. Bobby, help Irv out right there. Right? But the truth is this. God gives us opportunities to grow in these things. And so the next time that opportunity presents itself and you're like, I'm going to put this guy's head through a piece of drywall if he doesn't stop. I want you to think about this verse. I want you to think about how patient God has been with you. I want to think about all of the opportunities God gave you to repent and return back towards him. The truth is this, and we clearly see it here. It's answered as straightforward as you can find in Scripture. Why hasn't God returned? It's because he's patient with us. He's patient with people that he knows that they are the chosen, that they are the elect. He's waiting on them to repent and to return to him. And the truth is this. I can't tell you the date or the time. Again, I would tell you to flee from anyone who does that. But I'm very confident in this. When the last elect, now when that is, I don't know. Neither do you. Only God knows. But we're supposed to live our lives as if we're waiting on that, right? Let me give you a verse here. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. His steadfast love means his love doesn't waver. It's not conditional. That should get an amen from somebody, right? Because some of y'all, me for sure, you should be thankful for that. That you need to understand is that you can't earn God's love. That he's steadfast in his love towards you and his faithfulness. He's slow to anger. He is merciful when we make a mistake. And he's gracious in these things. These are things that allow us to understand. It allows us to be more patient. It allows us to be as steadfast as we can be as sinful people and us waiting on Christ's return. Again, maybe in your lifetime, maybe not, right? Peter has talked about this in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, right? When he's talking about patience in relation to the flood. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Remember, and I think so many people forget this, what did Noah do while he was building the ark? He also preached. And he told people, a flood is coming. And what did the world do? They scoffed at him. They said, you're crazy. And so remember, I have shared this so many times, the flood is a hard bit of scripture. When you truly get into it and you read it, it's very difficult. We see it right here. God erased everyone from the earth but 8 people. That's all that remained were the 8 people, Noah and his family, right? But leading up to the event when the first raindrop fell, chose the sinful life. They chose the sinful world. And so at the end of the day, we have to understand that God is patient and long-suffering towards us, and that should encourage you to be patient and long-suffering for people. But in relation to what we're discussing today, it should encourage you. I am confident of every family with us this morning and every family at home, you've got people in your family that you are praying for that they would come to a relationship with Christ. You're praying that right now on top of opportunities, right? It's just an amazing truth of his scripture. Let me give you some more verses here. Acts, the discussion of the early church. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 through 31. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man. All by a message that was radical in Christ's time, and it's radical today, is that for us as sinful people, we have to see the depths of our sin. Once we understand the depths of our sin, we see our need for a Savior. Once we see our need for a Savior, we see in Scripture that God, in his patience, in his gracious, in his long-suffering, did what? He sent us a Savior. He sent us a Messiah, whom we see in Scripture as Jesus Christ, who then lived a life perfectly of 33-ish years, went to the cross, right, paid for our sins, and now that if you have faith in Christ and you're trusting in him, you get to then put on his righteousness, so one day when you stand in front of God, or when Christ, right, this was a huge discussion. We could probably make a point that the entire chapter of the second chapter of Romans is Paul addressing this. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And this is where people must make a mistake. I think this is a place where you make mistakes. It's a place where I've made a mistake. Paul says this, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant for what? I added the what, sorry. To lead you to repentance. But what do we do as human beings so often? We take things for granted. We're like, well, God has always been patient. He'll always be patient. The truth is this, one day Christ is coming. And the opportunities to repent, the opportunities that existed to return to Christ, those opportunities will be gone. And so this is for anyone here this morning that doesn't count themselves among the chosen, that doesn't count themselves of resting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The truth is this, there will come a day where it's too late. There will come a day that when Christ returns or you're called home, I can't tell you how many times in the last year they were younger, they were healthier, there was nothing wrong with them, and that was the day the Lord called them home. That moment that the Lord calls you home, it's gone. You've lost it. It's too late. It's too late to repent. It's too late to say, you know, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I knew a guy once, and his theme was this. He was going to make a deathbed conversion. He said, I know. He says, I'm going to trust in God. The day I'm laying on my deathbed, I'm going to die. I was like, until you get hit by a truck and you don't see it coming. I don't wish that on him, but it could happen. So I think so many people, and I pray that's no one here this morning or no one at home, and I pray you're like, Michael, just move on to the next point, right? I pray no one is taking advantage of God's patience. I pray you're not living your life that way. Scripture is hyper clear. If you are, we see this last bit of scripture, and we won't spend a ton of time on this because we've talked about it a lot. This last bit of scripture, chapter or verse 10 there, talking about, again, the assurance of divine justice. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Again, this is Peter speaking to the church, and he's telling people, he's like, listen, Scripture. Now, for those of us that are trusting in God, that count ourselves among the chosen and the elect, what does that day mean for you? It's excitement. You look forward to it. We talked about it last week. I was thankful to Raphael. He said, hey, man, you pronounced that word wrong. And I was like, I for sure pronounced that word wrong, right? But the early church, their greeting was that, hey, we're ready for Christ to come right now. Christ, please come quickly. They were excited about it. We should be excited about it as well. We're not excited because people that are lost are going to spend eternity in hell. We're not excited about that. We're excited because Christ is coming to call us home, to where we will then spend eternity doing what? It's so important for us to understand what we see there. And I think this is very important for us to understand. But the day of the Lord is this. It's going to come unexpectedly. You're not gonna like, oh, next Friday at 8 o'clock, Christ is coming. No, he's just going to come when God has designed the perfect time for him to arrive. He's going to arrive, and it's going to happen that fast, right? And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. What's that talking about? That's just simply, we're talking about eschatology discussion there, of where Christ is going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. And so what's here right now is going to pass away. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be beautiful, and we're all going to be very excited to be there. But again, the truth is this, for anyone here this morning, and you're like, I'm not trusting in the Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have this peace. I don't look forward to Christ's return. There's an opposite side to this coin. For many of us that are here this morning, we're excited. We're looking forward to that to happen. You shouldn't be. Because at that point, what does that mean for you? The exact opposite. It means an eternity. Remember, we were trying to figure that out. 10,000 times 10,000. Multiply that out in your head. That's going to mean an eternity of living a life, what Scripture calls us, in a lake of fire, where it's so hard there will be what? If you're not one of the chosen, you should not be looking forward to that day. But here's the great news. You've still got a chance. God's being patient with you. He's being long-suffering with you. He loves you. He's being gracious with you. He's continuing to give you opportunities to begin trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The truth is this. He already is your Lord. But are you, I'm going to close with this. I came across this. This is not biblical. So don't look for this in your Bible. It's not. This is an old Jewish proverb that does not come from Scripture. But it talks about Abraham, right? And Abraham finds a traveler. A traveler comes to his house. He sees him. He brings him in. It's an old man. He fixes him dinner. And the guy doesn't pray. Later that evening, God speaks to Abraham. And he says, where's the traveler? Of course, God would know where the traveler was, but he asked, where's the traveler? And he said, hey, man, he was blaspheming you. I threw him out. And God says, I've been long, right, for opportunities to share the gospel with people. So when either Christ returns or Christ calls them, dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful, your mercy, of your lovingness. Lord, we're just so thankful for these amazing characteristics that you display, that you display them perfectly in your Christ Son, and that how we are called to display these also. And Lord, we understand we cannot display these as perfect and as wonderful as you can, but Lord, we're called to every day to be growing in these things, to continue to walk the path of sanctification, to where we are every day a little bit more patient like you. We are a little bit more loving like you. We are a little bit more forgiving like you. And Lord, through that, we pray that people will understand. Lord, we also pray for patience for ourselves, and that it does seem to us, in our measurement of minutes and hours, kingdom mindset, that we continue to understand the day and the hour you return really is not as important to us as the fact that we should be prepared for when you return. We pray that you find us doing things that are God-honoring. We pray that you find us living a life.
Amen. Let us respond to that message, to that word, by singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And grace to bear. there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so
time. I was like, where should he stand? I said, I'll stand wherever you want to. Very thankful. I've been in conversations with Chris, and he comes forward this morning wanting to join Dallasburg Baptist Church in fellowship as a member. So all those in favor, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Nobody, I never asked the other one. I never even asked. We're very thankful for that. We've had some great conversations. We've discussed what it means to be a member of a church. I think that's a lot of churches, I just be real transparent, I think a lot of churches get that wrong. We have expectations here of our members. We've discussed that. Chris says, I'm in, and he's very thankful. He's he has shared with me how blessed he's been for your all's prayers and how you've reached out to him and how you've accepted him. That's a really big thing for a church from someone when you come in here and you know one person, and we won't hold it against you, but you know Thomas, so we won't hold that against you. But I will say this, not joking with Thomas, is Thomas is the one who invited Chris. Chris has been very faithful in membership for months now, right? Yeah, many months. And so very thankful for that. Thomas, we'll have you come on down here with Chris here in a second since you invited him. And what I encourage you all to do is I'll ask someone here in a minute to close in prayer and come down and thank Chris and welcome him to fellowship with us, right? All right. Hey, Ted.